Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the day is treating you good so far for this May 5th, 2023, 7:04 on the clock. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody.
Shots.
Yes. Shots. And it's got to be, you know, what, noon somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
Welcome to the morning show. That voice you hear over there is our good friend, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. Good to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, you bet.
We got a lot of fun things lined up this morning. We're going to give you an update on the United Way, some of the great, cool things they have going on over there. We're actually going to talk about morning routines, get into that a little bit, and help people with those possibly, or just help you know that some of the things you're doing are working. That could be a little...
Or what you're doing that's wrong.
A little column A, a little column B. AI again. AI is in every every show now.
You know, it is.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of it. We're going to get into that. We have got some Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day. We're going to actually help you with pulling off a last-minute Cinco de Mayo party as well.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, we got that lined up for you. 8 o'clock hour, it is jam-packed. We are going to kick it off with, of course, a live update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley will be joining us. Looking forward to that.
That'll be great.
After that, we'll, of course, have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And then when Melissa's news is done, we're going to jump right into our Star of the Day. We're going to make you a Star of the Day today with our friends from Culver's. We got a great one lined up for you, one that I am shocked. I checked my notes. I've never done before, and I'm actually a little mad at myself that I've never done this one. We're excited about it. It's going to be a fun one, and I feel like the audience will get this one. I don't think it's too hard, especially because it's a... well, you'll hear what I'm...
Yeah, will I mean, get
I
it? Get,
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Right.
It's our generation, so I think you'll
all
get
right.
So. Oh, and I just gave you a dodge.
Giving out clues already.
Get some free Culver's in the end of the 8 o'clock hour. Be listening for that. At 9 o'clock hour, we'll have some fun. We got Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day, some entertainment news. Want to catch you up on the Ed Sheeran lawsuit that we were talking about earlier this week. Dollywood is up to something. We have to cover that. It's in Dollywood. I mean, we have to. It has to do with Dolly Parton. And I wanted to get into this one with you, Terry. Wedding season is upon us. Have the top 10 country songs for a first dance.
Awesome.
I think that'll be a good one. And I could actually use my oldest's wedding is next year and stuff. So I got to kind of, you know,
I thought you were
going to
say you're
running.
Getting married.
No.
It's like, what did I miss in a week?
Oh, I needed that. Thank you. We're going to have some fun this morning. I want to get an update from you about the United Way, Terry, but a couple of things to kick things off. I like, especially on a Friday, getting good stories of the day right away. So first up, it's fishing season.
It is fishing season.
Congratulations, all my fellow fishermen out there that have made it to this part. I haven't been fishing in a little while here, but I think I'm going to get going this year. All my friends have been bugging me the last couple of years to get out there, get a license. I just haven't made the time. I be honest between you and I, Terry, and you guys out there, don't tell anybody else, especially don't tell my friends. I mean, I don't mind fishing. I like hanging out with my guys. I like being out on the water. That's what I like.
I like to go fishing.
I don't mind catching a fish or anything like that, but I don't, you know, for one, I don't do the type of fishing where you're going to reel these in and keep them and you know, put them up on a wall or something like that. And I don't see a lot of perch on the wall or anything like that. But I don't know. I just enjoy being in the moment, being out there and stuff. I find that when I'm in nature, that's the best I'm at being in the moment.
Absolutely.
That or with my kids. Like that's when I can actually feel it the most. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I can, you know, to all the anglers out there, have a good fishing season. Enjoy yourselves. You can find out more by going to the DNR's website. That is dnr.wisconsin.gov, dnr.wisconsin.gov. And one other thing I wanted to do, I want to send a mazel tov and salu, a big congratulations to our good friend, Kristen Bry. Kristen announced yesterday that she and hers is going to have a baby girl coming.
Congratulations
to them. Mazel tov. Congratulations to them. Very exciting. And I think it's really cool how she shared that and everything. She did a nice job with it. She's great at the promoting and the the social media and all that stuff. I need her to teach me some things. I need to learn a couple things from Kristen. She's great. Salu, congratulations. Mazel tov to you and yours, Kristen. Speaking of children, let's go ahead and talk about the United Way, Terry, because one of the major things, that was the best I had for a segue. One of the of the major things you guys do is take care of kids. And of course, we wrapped up at the end of last month the Great Book Giveaway. I'd like to start there, if you don't mind. How did that go? How were the results from that?
Yep. So I'm not really certain how many books we collected because we've still had some trickling in this week. But we did, yes, have a book drive for the month of April, and those are going to be then given away at Great Book Giveaway coming up starting June 6th. And so, I mean, it seemed like there was a good number of books and, great fun. It's fun to flip through the titles sometimes and see what people are donating and what's coming in. Kids get super excited about that. So we're really looking forward to that. Those events will run June 6th through June 13th. And that is a series of Reading in the Park events where you can, bring your kiddos along and, they get read to by some volunteers, and then they get free books to take home and not just keep for summer, but keep forever. Yeah. And until maybe they donate them back to us to get into the hands of another kid.
Yeah. Take good care of them.
So yeah, definitely looking forward to those events. We'll be throughout our service area. So we'll be in Rudolph, Vesper, Port Edwards, Nacusa, couple of locations in Rapids, Rome, and Adams Friendship. So really, really looking forward to that. And you can get more details like dates and times and that kind of thing on our website. Mm-hmm. Another thing we're doing for kids right now is the Stuff the Desk registration. So this is an opportunity to receive free school supplies for next school year, and that registration opened on Monday. So you go to visit our website, uwswac.org, and you can click on the banner that talks about Stuff the Desk, and then you sign up for an actual time slot of when you will pick up your supplies in August.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other side of that, though, is then we need people to gather up school supplies.
Yes.
Because this is all through community donations. We will host Lunch by the River the very first Thursday of August, and that is an opportunity for you to bring your school supplies to us. We'll have a school bus down there. We get lots of students that come and inventory everything, count it all up for us, sort it by color, and then it goes over to East Junior High where the bags get prepped for distribution. So over the course of between now and that first week of August, when you're out doing your shopping, pick up a few school supplies here and there. We're looking for solid color folders, like your basic primary colors, red, blue, green, yellow. Same with notebooks. They need to be the spiral-bound notebooks, not the composition notebooks. And then kind of your normal things that you would think of, pens, pencils, glue sticks. That's always a big one. And so anything, crayons, anything that you can pick up between now and August and then bring to us at Lunch by the River. Or if you're an organization, maybe a church, part of a civic group, your workplace, you can also be a drop point there where you can have people that you work with or that you gather with bring school supplies as well.
Registration is open. Get on over to uwswac.org to find out more, to register. We also encourage you to follow the United Way on Facebook. It's a great follow. Just going back to the Great Book Giveaway, we are going to need readers. We're going to need people to be able to read to the kids for those and everything. So keep that in mind, everybody. And we have United Weekend around the corner next month.
June 15th.
June 15th. I'm trying to think of the months in order right now because I still think it's April half the time.
We've already got a weekend.
Yeah, right. Are you still looking for teams for United Weekend? Are we still collecting teams?
Yep, we still have a few openings for teams. A good number for us is about 12, maybe 14 for what we have room for at Witterfield. And I believe we are at 9 or 10. So there is a little bit of room yet. And as long as you register by next Friday, May 12th, you qualify for the drawing for the Point Craft River tickets for during the game, so that's really fun. We do encourage people to get involved with United We Can, and if you can't build a sculpture, then at least plan to attend the game on June 15th.
Everybody can pick up a non-perishable food item. You can drop it off at the game, take in a Rafters win, and also enjoy some that you are putting back into your community, being a part of a community event that we raise so much food for and help so many people out of. It's such a great feeling when there's a winning hit or the end of the game and the Rafters win or something like that, and you're cheering with all your fellow Rafter fans. That always feels good in sports. That is the same feeling you are going to get being a part of this donation, being a part of putting food into your community and helping out so many people out there that you know, hopefully get the hands that they need with something like this.
Absolutely. And we usually leverage that day between 8,000 and 10,000 pounds of food. So, you know, that's really awesome. But yeah, at a minimum, plan to come on out to the game, check out the sculptures. People work really hard on this. I know one local business, they've already have theirs. They're already building it in their lobby as a practice run.
Nice.
So, So I think, you know, there's a lot of thought that goes into it, a lot of time and preparation, and then also investment on the part of the organization as far as gathering the food.
Yeah.
And so it's just really fun to come and, you know, cheer them on, thank them for doing that, and then see, you know, learn a little bit about hunger, how hunger impacts our community.
UWSWAC.org. Be sure to bookmark that website and keep up to date on all the things your United Way is doing. We're going to take a quick commercial break, come back, and have some more fun with our National Day of calendar for this Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It's WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Terry and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. Happy Cinco de Mayo, and I mentioned that as we get into our National Day of calendar for this May the 5th, 2023. It is International Midwives Day. That's a good one.
Absolutely.
I don't hear as much about midwives anymore, but I do know that I've had friends and known some people that have still used them and everything.
Yeah, it is interesting because I agree with you. I think it was kind of quiet for a long time, but now I've been hearing it even on like some TV shows and stuff. Like it's maybe, you know, kind of making a comeback. You hear about it. You hear about this practice a little bit. But for a while there, yeah, it was pretty quiet.
What was old is new. What is new is old. Yeah, you know, we seem to kind of bring things back at times and stuff. We go to these extremes, and then we kind of come back to a lot of the more familiar stuff. It's National Cartoonist Day.
Huh.
Wonderful. Take a walk down memory lane by revisiting the beloved, charming, often bizarre cartoons of our childhood, like Calvin and Hobbes and so many others. Bloom County is the big one for me. Berkeley Breathed, great. I always say his last name, by the way, but a great cartoonist. I think Gary Larson right away, The Far Side.
Sure, you know? I'm a Peanuts fan, so
Charles Schultz, yes, the great Charles Schultz, one of ours, Midwesterner.
I was thinking of when you said Calvin and Hobbes. Remember when Calvin and Hobbes, when it first came out in a book?
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't like a comic book. Remember, it was like actually like a sofa table book kind of.
Yeah.
That was like...
It was awesome.
Yeah, but that was kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Macmillan, because that's where I got those books. I'd go over there. My Nana Papa take me over there as a kid or something, or eventually my mom and dad would, and they had like all the Far Side books, all the Calvin, and I read every single one of them. I just couldn't get enough of those. Yeah, good day to kind of shout out to your cartoonists out there. I wanted to see, here it is. In 1895, a man named Richard Fee Outcult introduced a small, bold kid in a yellow nightshirt to the world in an incredibly popular publication in the Big Apple at the time, the New York World. While the paper itself was looked upon with a sort of disdain by real journalists at the time, the yellow kid was embraced by people everywhere. Little did Richard know that when he did create this character, it would lead to a revolution in how stories were told and presented in sequential art pieces. That's comics. But would it in fact create a new standard piece of content for newspapers everywhere? The yellow kid was an architect type, but really would lead to another little yellow kid and a white kid in a yellow shirt. Peanuts, you know, and everything. So that's a pretty cool story. That's interesting.
You wonder, are there kids becoming cartoonists?
I hope so. I know that there are still illustrators out there. I know that there are still a lot of them have gone into the cartoon world, like animation world. A lot of them are doing, everything from TV shows to working for Disney and a lot of that. I don't know that there, especially with print happening, what's happening to print. I don't know what's going to happen to our comics.
And like, is there anybody actually drawing?
Yeah.
You know, by hand anymore, or is it computer?
No, I'm pretty sure it's all hand still. Yeah. Now I do think that that's going to happen eventually with some stuff. We're already seeing some of it, but I don't think we're ever going to get rid of the written hand and the written word. It's National No Pants Day. Heyo.
Oh, dear Lord.
Leave your restricting pants in the drawer and feel the freedom of No Pants Day. Try skirts.
At home. At home.
At home, everybody. Please be smart about this. For the love of God, in this culture, please
be smart.
And
don't answer the door.
We shouldn't have to tell you this. We really should not have to be telling you this. If it took till now for us to tell you this to really, wait, but what? I thought, no, you deserve whatever's coming your way. Dresses, kilts, or just stay home and relax bare-legged. I would say, you know, there's other options than just going, you know, full Monty there. But, you know, there's other things.
Maybe it's, you know, like, not restrictive pants. Maybe you're wearing, like, sweats or, you know,
some Adidas pants. Like, that's what I throw on, I don't know the purpose of this day other than to embarrass people that are saying it out loud. National Space Day. Visit an observatory or use a telescope to explore the night sky or pursue one of NASA's live streams to remind yourself of how big the universe really is. You know how big the universe is? Nobody does. Nobody knows. We have no idea how big the universe is. We barely have a grasp, a loose idea of how big our galaxy is, let alone how big the universe
is. It's kind of as big as we dream it, right?
Said.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's just...
Any chance I look at the sky, it makes me feel like I'm a part of something. Not like I've heard people say, I think of the universe and I'm such a tiny speck in this. Nah, I get to be a part of this.
Yeah.
We are all like, none of this works without all of us. And we're all a part of this. It's a beautiful thing. It's a really cool thing. And man, especially if it's been a while that you haven't looked up at the sky, check it out.
Have you ever gone to the planetarium in Stevens Point at UWSP?
It was one of my first field trips out here.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Oh, it is so cool. Yes, it is.
And
so
that's open like... I think it's two nights a week.
Is it?
Just to anybody. I want to say it's like Wednesdays and I don't know. I know it's 2 days, or it was 2 days a week.
I've been a little, not feared, but a little worrisome to look because I didn't want to see that it was like shut down or something.
No,
awesome. It's still very
going.
Cool. Go check out that observatory, everybody. Take the kids. Go take them. It's fun. It's National Hoagie Day, so maybe have a hoagie right before you go.
Right before your margarita.
Yes. It's good stuff.
You can't have Hoagie Day on Cinco de Mayo.
That's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, that just doesn't add up to me. But it is Cinco de Mayo. Mention that really quick. Of course, we have a bit Americanized this and everything, but it is certainly a Mexican holiday. Commencing the, I don't know how many people really realize that Cinco de Mayo, much like St. Patrick's Day, is not about an excuse to drink or party or anything. Although plenty of people do, and you know, as long as you're doing it responsibly, we encourage you to have fun. Commemorating the Mexican Army's victory over the French Empire at the Battle of Pueblo of May 5th, 1862, Cinco de Mayo is a holiday celebrated primarily in the state of Pueblo and throughout Mexico. While we have, of course, we are an immigrant country, we have taken in, and we are, you know, hand in hand with our North American countries, Canada, Mexico. It's not surprising that over the years, Cinco de Mayo has had been a little Americanized, like the taco in some ways. But I do think that there is an essence here that has a lot more to do with having your favorite margarita. And for those that don't know, the Mexican Army, if this was sports, they were 100-1 to win this war. There was no reason they should have won this. The French Army had all the power, all the weapons, all the money, all the people. There is no way that the Mexican people should have won this war, yet they did, through will, through strategy, through so many things. If you take away the names and some of this stuff and everything, you look at this as just a battle in history that we all learn from, and whether we like war or not, we learn a lot from it. Read The Art of War, everybody, Sun Tzu. We can all take a piece from this and all take some pride from this and all take some, man, that is incredible. That is amazing what happened there.
Absolutely.
It's a pretty cool moment in time, moment
so
in history.
We're ditching Hoagie Day.
Get out of here, Hoagie Day. Yeah. Tomorrow you can have a hoagie. It's Nail Day.
Get your nails done, ladies.
Yeah.
Or men.
Yeah, whoever.
Anybody?
Yeah. I don't. I have no interest. I could barely. I just cut my nails yesterday. I'm so bad at this. I always cut them too short. I always do it. I hate. It's my thumb usually too. It's
I never for a while. I mean, like 20 years ago, I always had my nails done. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a thing. But I don't know. And polish doesn't really stay on my nails for whatever reason. I don't know if I'm just doing too much stuff. But I did just have to spring for my daughter to get hers done for prom. So it is like nail week.
Yes.
It's Revenge of the Fifth Day.
I was trying to do a Darth Vader voice, and all I did was Bane. It's Revenge of the Fifth.
Wait a minute.
Day,
they don't get 2 days in a
row.
They
get 2 days in a row.
No.
Jerry. Yes. That's how big Star Wars is.
Now.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't listen yesterday, because I assume it was out of control.
Not too bad, but a little bit. And it's National Astronaut Day. We, of course, appreciate our heroes. They are genuine heroes. Every astronaut we have ever had. The first American made his adventure into space travel on May 5th, 1961, when Alan Bartlett Shepard Jr. made his historic 15-minute suborbital space journey. That's what we commemorate on this day.
Can you imagine how scary?
Can't even.
I mean, the excitement, but just think about that. That, I mean, the very first one.
It's.
Did anyone even know? I mean, we didn't know he was coming back.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't. We couldn't have been 100%.
No.
And even now, going up to space is challenging and crazy.
Right, but at least we have some.
Yeah.
You know, something to go on.
Some data, some history, some tech to help us. Back then, they're like, hey, everybody, cross your fingers. It's like, you know, they still did this. They still walked into this moment.
And, you know, good. Awesome that he did it, because look where we are now.
Yeah, it's incredible. We appreciate him. And it's a great day to appreciate those things.
Look at Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday is jam-packed, everybody. It is National Beverage Day, along with it being National Beer Pong Day.
And National Homebrew Day.
While also being World Naked Gardening Day. I feel like all of these, like all of that led to World Naked Gardening Day.
I feel like it's all a lie.
It does seem like. Who's
World
actually
naked
celebrating
gardening.
Any of these?
Who is gardening naked?
Hopefully no one. Hopefully nobody. Truly get back to nature by getting your hands dirty and spending time in the garden entirely in the nude. Don't forget the sunscreen on your skinny, or your skin may suffer. That is a bad idea. That is a very, very bad idea. Like, I'm all for getting back to nature. I'm a big nature guy, but come on, man.
Do you remember,
way
like,
too many things that can happen.
Do you remember, like, in the 80s and late 80s, probably early 90s, the wooden cutouts of, like, the lady bent over in the garden?
Yes, you know what I'm talking about?
It was usually, like, a polka dotted skirt or whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah. So now you drive by tomorrow and you see naked butts.
Hey-o.
Gardening. Yeah. No.
It's like that. I'm pretty sure that's illegal. I'm pretty sure you can't do that.
Only in your own flower bed.
In your own flower bed, maybe. Yeah, I guess. There was a Simpsons episode where Homer and Marge are trying to recapture their, you know, the passion and everything. They go back to where they first kissed in this mini golf thing. But they lose their clothes and they get a mob chasing them. So they're hiding. And they just get in these perfect spots where the bushes cover them and everything. Like, I imagine that. I imagine somebody just walking around with, Adam and Eve style and all that. Yeah.
And how does beer pong get a day?
Yeah, I don't know. It's all right.
I know. It just is, like, game doesn't get it. I don't know.
Apparently they have a quota to fill with these national day offs. And they're like, I don't know, throw beer pong in there. I don't know. Saturday is also Free Comic Book Day. There is ways online you can do that. I encourage you to look at that more online. Just Google Free Comic Book Day. But there are ways to get free comics, even, you know, though we don't have any comic book stores near us or anything. Saturday is also Saturday begins National Nurses Week, so we send a shout out to all of our nurses out there. Great appreciation to them. I go back to my Nana, who was a nurse. I go to my sister-in-law. She's really my sister, Kim, my brother Nick's wife. Amazing. Wouldn't have my father without her, possibly. You know, appreciate our nurses out there. Sunday is World Laughter Day. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
National Lemonade Day is Sunday. National Cosmopolitan Day is Sunday. Man, they just run us drinking this weekend. I don't know.
You know, I never thought of that, really, but you could kind of mix those.
Yeah.
A Cosmo and lemonade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you could. I've never done it, but I bet you could. It's worth a try. Just try it Sunday. And Sunday is also National Tourism Day. Discover the beauty of the world, take a trip, explore new places, and make unforgettable memories. A great day to make plans, possibly. Maybe you can't travel on Sunday or whatever, kind of took you off guard. I didn't know that was coming. But you can go ahead and make plans to travel.
Absolutely.
It's that time of year. And man, especially if you're planning on traveling in the next couple of months, now is the time to get your tickets.
And if you need a passport, you need to get
Thank
on
you.
That.
That's a good point. We will take a break right here, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back. More fun to be had on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back. Morning show here at WFHR.
I loved this movie.
Locally grown radio.
You did too.
My cousins, my cousin, my sister, all summer long, they just play this movie over and over and over. The soundtrack drove me mad. The putting baby in a corner drove me mad. Like that movie just, I bet you I could still like quote that movie like crazy. And I didn't even really watch it. It was my sister and cousin that watched it like crazy. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Friday out there. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope you are enjoying your day. Looking forward to some more fun conversation here. Terry and I taking you through it. And we're going to talk a little morning routine now. Did you make your bed this morning? If you didn't, you are not alone. Over 50,000 people took an online poll on, quote, daily routines. And it turns out some morning routines aren't really routines for a lot of us. So here are four questions they asked and how people answered them. So, right away, how often do you make your bed? 42% said every day, but 49% said very rarely or never. Another 9% usually do, but sometimes skip it on the weekends.
And you?
I got to make it.
Yeah.
I got to make it.
Ours is always made. Always.
At the very least, if and this rarely ever happens to me. I can't even remember the last time I did. If I wake up like late, which for me is 5 minutes later than I planned on waking up because everything is timing for me in the mornings, then I'll at the least throw the blankets over it so it looks like half made, like you did when you were a teenager or something like that. At the very least, I can't leave it unmade, though.
My kids never make their beds, and I don't make them. That's fine. And maybe because I don't have to walk by their bedrooms because they're upstairs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But ours is always made, but I'm not the last one out of bed. So, it's made at my insistence. Because it is kind of funny because I also wash the bedding every Sunday, typically, unless we're gone somewhere. And so Sunday mornings, I'm always like, because I'll walk in and Randy will be like starting to make the bed. I'm like, remember? I'm like, I washed that today. He's like, oh, you know, like it's like a little victory. Yeah. Like, yes, I do have to make the bed.
I like it. And I completely feel it. It's a little less chaos. It's a little less entropy. Life is chaos. Life is entropy. You can't plan for much, if anything. And we all know that you plan, and then life happens and craziness. But this is one thing that you can control, one thing that, not the only thing, but it's a good start to the day to me of kind of putting it into the universe, letting the day know, I am going to control this day as best as possible.
Well, for me, it's about the getting in bed at night. Like just having it, you know, a nice,
oh, that is a good
crisp,
feeling.
Like
yes.
I just,
yes,
it's more about that for me than having the chaos when I'm trying to.
I've never been one of those people that, if I had this much money, I'd buy an island or this kind of thing or anything like that. I've never really thought much about that stuff other than things I do for my kids or my parents or something like that. But if I was one of those rich people that like just wasted money all the time, I want like new sheets every day. I want that new sheet feeling every day. Like that would be pretty cool. You donate the sheets or something like, I don't know, you'd figure it out. But I mean, that if we're talking about like wasting money, and it would be extremely wasting money and very, very irresponsible. That being said, if I was one of those people that didn't care about those things or society, I'd do that. Oh yeah.
Or even just having the time to like literally wash them every day. Like I love that.
That is
crisp,
a great,
you know, but yeah, there's no way.
It's a great feeling. How often do you shower or bathe? Only 59% said every day, 28% said a few times a week, and 12% said it varies based on activity. And 1% said only when I start to smell. Notice it's only 1% of people doing that.
And now, is it when they think they smell or when the people around them think they smell?
Yeah, because I bet you, well, they're saying it's when they do. Mm. It's long before. They're smelling long before that.
Yeah. Ugh, I'm a everyday bather.
Yeah. Same here. I'm trying to see something though, because I don't know if I've ever heard this. How often should you bathe? I just Googled it. I just threw it into the search bar just to see what they said.
Don't give people
ideas. Just to see what they said. 2 to 3 times a week.
Ugh.
Many doctors say a daily shower is fine for most people, more than that could start to cause skin problems. But for many people, 2 to 3 times a week is enough and maybe even better to maintain good health. Now, I was curious about this in part because I have... I have weird skin like 99% of the people out there and everything. I have dry, but then it's at other parts it doesn't seem like it is. And I know that I can, I love being in the water, whether it's a lake, a river, ocean, bathtub, I don't care. I just like being in the water. So I like taking showers. I like taking those kind of things. I worry about, well, am I drying my skin out? Am I making it worse or something like that? So for people like myself, they recommend 3 to 4 a week. Two to three a week, like they're recommending here. But I think that most people know their body well enough at a certain age where it's like, oh, I can do it 4 times a day, or I can do it 5 times a week, or 6 times, 7 times, whatever it is.
It's for me.
You know your body.
Yeah, and it's part of waking up, though. Like, I literally get up and go straight into the shower. Like, I don't make coffee. I don't do any. Like, I literally go straight there. So
I do a very quick poor person's version of that, where I just throw water in my face. But I do a lot. I throw a lot of cold water in my face. Wait, it's a great start for me. How often do you brush your teeth? Only 64% said twice a day, and another 30% said once a day, and 5% said when I remember. Yeah.
This makes me glad I'm not, don't have to date anymore.
Right? Yeah. At least 3 times a day I'm brushing my teeth. At the very least 3 times a day. I am really bad about this. I shouldn't say bad about this. I just really don't like having bad breath. It's a big deal to me. I'm not the most confident. I don't have horrible teeth or anything like that. I'm actually pretty fortunate when it comes down to things. But I want to keep the teeth I have. I grew up with a dad who played hockey and boxing. Guess how many teeth my dad have that are original still? You know, and I didn't want to be like that. I didn't want to do that or anything. My dad's got a great smile. He has nice teeth and everything now. But, you know, growing up wasn't always the case. And genetically, we don't have the greatest teeth. So I've been trying to take care of my teeth for as long as I can remember. One of the more embarrassing things to me is bad breath. Or things in your teeth after you eat.
Yeah.
So immediately, like, I'm not even that great at eating in public. I'll admit this. I never talked about this, but I don't like eating in public that much.
Because it'll be stuck in your teeth?
Yep. Oh. And the bad breath and stuff. See, like, and you're in a room full of people who have the same problem. I don't know why it's such a big deal to me, but, you know, I'm being honest about it. I always bring one of those little pickers.
I was going to say, I'm a crazy flosser. Yeah, like, I am flossing multiple times a day, but more so probably because as I get older, I've got some weird spaces in my teeth that I didn't have before.
Yes.
And so, like, there's one spot that something is always stuck, and it's low. It's in the back. Yeah, I mean, it's not that I'm worried about people seeing it, but it drives me insane.
That's what it is for me. Yeah.
So, so I'm constantly flossing. But really, if you're not brushing your teeth twice a day, get with the program.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only are you going to feel better, but man, the people in your life will. How often do you eat breakfast? Oh, boy. 43% said they eat breakfast or at least have a snack every morning. 27% of us rarely eat breakfast at all. Not good. And I am in that 27%, I will admit. I rarely eat breakfast. I rarely have something in the morning. I should. But I'm just being honest that I don't normally.
I do eat breakfast, although when I was a kid, I never did. You know, like high school and college and that kind of stuff. Never ate breakfast. Maybe it had to do with getting up time and making time. But
when I was younger, especially when I lived with my parents, when I was going to school and everything, I was great about breakfast. My mom was really good about that stuff. I have been a horrible adult when it comes to it. I do this whole morning show thing in the morning. I don't know if just update
you do?
People. Yeah, yeah. We're doing it right now. Where I when it comes to performing, I've never been able to eat before performing.
You know,
I don't find that it weighs me down. I don't like what it does to me. I'll eat a couple hours before a performance, sure. You need energy and everything, but I don't usually eat right before a performance or an hour before a performance, anything like that. I am in game. I got my game face on. It's go time. I got things to do. I treat this show very similar. This is a performance. This is work. This is a job. And for me, I got things on my mind. The last thing I'm thinking about is eating.
Our good friend Terry Steak used to eat Cheerios while he was doing the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Terry, and I respect and appreciate Terry very much. You will never catch somebody doing that on the air while I'm here. You will never hear people chewing while I'm on the air. No person in human history has ever wanted to hear somebody chewing.
I don't know that you could hear him chewing.
You could hear him chewing.
There were like three people on at the same time. I just remember sitting next to him while he was eating them.
I have all the respect in the world for Terry. That is not something I will ever let down.
So you could eat your breakfast.
Yeah.
You could while you're here. You could have a granola bar.
Melissa always leaves me bananas. I could have a banana in the morning easily. Yeah.
I usually do
right after I'm done on air. I usually do eat something.
I like breakfast food.
So that makes it,
you know what I mean? Like that makes it easier to eat breakfast too. And even cereal. Like there's a lot of different cereals that I like.
Cereal's great. Dry cereal is an awesome snack. And I'm with you. I could live on breakfast foods alone and be happy.
Like Pop-Tarts. Maybe that's because that was a thing when we were kids. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, all of it. Pancakes, French toast, waffles.
We were talking about nostalgia the other day and different things that bring it. Pop-Tarts, for some reason, like right away, like popped in my head. Like, yeah, I'm with you on those. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We got more fun in store for you on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you to take it to the top of the hour, where we will have CBS News catch up on all your world news. After that, we're going to have a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley usually joins us. We'll get you ready for your weekend.
That'll be awesome. And, you know, James, some things are on a need-to-know basis, and sometimes you don't need to know.
Yeah. It's very true. Very true.
Stop asking questions.
Yes. I am just not even going to. Just going to let him talk. We're looking forward to, after we're done talking with Paul, we're going to get into how to help you pull off a last-minute Cinco de Mayo party. We'll talk about that. That should be fun. We also, in the 8 o'clock hour, of course, have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. After Melissa's news, we're going to make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. Looking forward to all of that. Right now, I want to get into this one right here, Terry, with you. So a flight was delayed. You've heard of flights being delayed or canceled for silly reasons, but this seems like a Saturday Night Live sketch or something like that. A Delta flight from Houston to Atlanta was delayed for 3 hours on Wednesday because there were bees on the tip of one of the wings.
Really?
To be fair, it was a huge swarm, and it's unclear why they were there, but Delta wouldn't allow the plane to board until the bees were gone. To be fair about that, and I think it's bad reporting that they don't mention this, we've had a lot of issues lately with our flights, with birds and different things going into planes. We've been very, very fortunate, and many people would tell you lucky that we haven't had any horror tragedies from this.
So are you thinking the thought process was they didn't want the bees to get to any of the people or in the plane? Or are you thinking the idea was preservation of the bees?
That's a good question, the latter part, and I don't know about that part. I don't think they're worried about getting in. And the little bit that I could see, again, because not very great reporting on this story, the little bit that I found out about it, it was more worry about this affecting the engines, like that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know if this was because of, like, they didn't want something to happen to the bees.
I have nothing against
bees, but...
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. I have been on many flights that have been delayed. I've sat on a tarmac like most everybody out there for 2 hours and that kind of thing. I know how frustrating that could be. All that being said, yeah, make sure everything's safe. I'm good with waiting 2 hours if it means we're having a safer flight.
Means you're going to land somewhere?
Yeah. I let them do what they do. I said this the other day about getting pulled out of line. I've gotten pulled out of line every time I've flown since 9/11, and you will never hear me complain about it. Yep, shoes are off, last name's Mailoff, born in this country. Go ahead and check me out. I'm a bit of a knucklehead in my bass, so you're going to see some stuff. Like, I'm completely open about this stuff.
Yeah.
For one, got nothing to hide, and two, how many attacks have we had? I don't care if it's a silly statement. They're doing a good job. I'll keep on let them pull me out of line. I don't care. Yeah, my last name's Mailoff. It's Egyptian.
The other side of this bee thing, though, I was thinking about is if it, they're by the wing on the boarding side and they don't have a sealable, door. Like, that's the other thing. You wouldn't want, depending upon where they're boarding, you also wouldn't want a couple thousand bees coming into the plane.
It's a very good point.
I mean,
too.
That could be, like, my mother is severely allergic to bees. There could be, Think about it that way, too.
A passenger was live tweeting the situation from the terminal. She started off by suggesting that the bees might fly away themselves when the plane took off, but that's not what Delta felt. They didn't feel that that would happen. So here's her blow-by-blow play, like tweetage of this. The gate agent says they're bringing in a beekeeper. Beekeeper cancels. They're not allowed to touch airplanes. They're going to call pest control. Sadly, the bees may be killed. A question mark. The bees were spared. Explanation point. Pest control can't spray planes. Captain says they're looking for a hose to spray them off, but can't find one. Captain says the fire department can't come. He doesn't know why not.
You're not allowed to touch planes. Let's just keep the theme the same, right?
Yeah. Gate agent announces they don't have another bee-free plane to sub in. Grounds crew tries to blow exhaust from a vehicle onto the wingtip. Bees were not impressed. Then she tweets, "Wish you could hear people here on the phone trying to explain why our flight is delayed."
Well, at least that's a fairly decent accounting there, because you can imagine what some people were.
Yeah. Flight crew leaves. Delta seems to be throwing in the towel and gives the gate to another flight, meaning the passengers are stuck for now. Then they turn on the plane to move it out of the gate, and all the bees leave. Yes, all they had to do the whole time is turn on the plane's engine, and the bees would buzz off. The bee plane moves to another gate. The bee passengers are told to meet the plane at the gate. The plane takes off 3 hours late and makes it to Atlanta safely, bee-free. You're bored on a flight. I mean, it's something to do. And at least it wasn't her, a lot of the tweets.
Because that's what you would expect.
Exactly. That's why I pre-read that article. And I was like, I'm not going down that line. But that's not so bad. This one is a little more of a that ain't right story. Or maybe it's not. You know, to each their own. You guys can have the morning show play at home version we gave you all. You can decide for yourselves. And it involves Twitter, so I see a connection. If you heard that Twitter was a mess these days, yeah, you ain't half wrong. There's still, that's not counting the hard workers that are working there. I'm not talking about them. You could talk about the person at the top and everything all you want. That's a whole other story. But the actual coders and the people that are working there, especially a lot of people that were there before Elon came in and all that stuff and everything, they're working their tails off, and they're hard workers. But what about these people that, you know, use Twitter and use it as an outlet? That's how they either get news or they do a lot of other things on it. That's kind of where we're going with this one. If you heard that Twitter was a mess, there's still some hardworking, talented folks. But then there's this guy who uses his Twitter account to review food while he's showering.
Well, that's the hook. That's how he gets people. You know. For like the naked gardeners.
Yes. For some reason, people even pay him for it, but it's not a naughty thing or anything like that. The feed is nudity-free and all that. It's just the food. It's just the reviews and stuff. He calls himself Gazpacho Machine, or Gaz for short, and he says he started eating while showering in an attempt to cure hangovers. Great. Wonderful. It worked, so he began doing it regularly. His friends found it funny, so he started sharing his meals and later reviews on Twitter. The foods he's eaten in the shower include steak, pineapple, KFC, Philly cheesesteak. Not everything is a good experience. He dropped a plate of Indian food and some tacos slipped out of his hands.
Who's cleaning the drain?
Yeah. Blech. One food he doesn't like eating in the shower is seafood. He says you would think seafood in a wet environment would be a natural fit, but the smell is not too pleasant combined with the steam, shampoo, and soaps.
Hope this is a college kid. This is not an adult.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they're not adults, but you know what I mean? I hope this is, because his maturity level doesn't seem so great.
Yeah. Usually the food review thing is something that we go to for somebody who actually knows how to write or is good at this kind of thing. This person, well, for one, okay, right away. He's got a Cash App thing here, and he's got his profile picture is just him standing in boxers in the buff, and with the mirror angle. Man, I'm sorry. That is one of the lamest things I've ever heard in my life. Like, everybody that uses that as a profile picture. Like, I was actually curious about checking this guy out and everything. He's got a ton of followers. You don't need me. And looking at the pictures and stuff, it's just a POV version. You're just seeing from his point of view the food and the shower. So all you're seeing is really his hand and the food.
So, and it's not just, I mean, think about this. It's not just showering and eating, and he has to maneuver the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
How many hands does this guy have?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know any more about this. I'm good.
Must have a big hot water heater.
I like the idea at first, but then I mean just seeing some.
I think it's really dumb.
Seeing his pinned tweet and seeing some of these things seems a little misogynistic to me. I don't really need that in my life. I'm good.
Yeah, and just get in the shower to shower.
Just shower. It this feels like a 3 a.m. idea. Where 3 a.m., hey, this ain't so bad. Maybe I should try this. Maybe this will be kind of funny. This will be kind of cool.
Yeah, he did say he started it to cure hangovers. Yeah, so.
But that, you know, then you wait, you sober up. You know, I mean, you don't actually follow through with it. Again, some people are paying him. He's got a lot more followers than I got on Twitter.
He probably has beer cans in his shower.
I don't know. I do know that we are very proud, very happy to have Hoozle's Rise to Music Part 2 back for everybody.
Awesome.
It kicks off Thursdays in June and July. We have your Thursdays bookmarked. It involves, of course, our great friends at Hoozle's at the Lakes at 1497 Alpine Drive in Nakusa. You can find out more by going to hoozlesrisetomusic.com. This is our second annual time doing this. And while we include everybody to be a part of this that, you know, knew and had fun with it last year, there's some new things going on this year. For one, we've got the power of civic media behind us now. All of our shows are podcasted. We have more opportunities for you to play, not just live on the morning show here, but on Director's Cut or Max Inc. Radio. We can feature these artists, not just in our central Wisconsin area, but Max Inc. is out of Madison, so you know you're going to be hearing it there. We're streaming 24/7. We are FM AM now, so we're able to reach out a much bigger audience. We know how big the listenership is out there. We know how many of you are no musicians or our musicians. Spread the word about this. Be a part of this event. It's not only a great way for us to help promote local artists, it's a great way for you to help promote your area, help promote your music, or maybe even just to, help promote arts in general. Buy local, support local doesn't stop with mom and pop shops. It includes the arts. It includes going to kids' sporting events and high school sporting events. It includes supporting these artists and those kind of things. This is a really cool thing that we're able to do. Musicians are expected to prepare to play a minimum of 15 minutes of performance time, and we are taking all genres of music, it doesn't matter. The qualifier prize, radio interview right here at WFHR, performance at the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Ballpark, $200 cash prize, not bad at all. And the grand prize, paid residency with Hoozle's at the Lakes, studio recording time, radio interviews with Civic Media Networks, and performances at the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Ballpark, cash prize, and the title of Rise to Music Champion.
Very cool. And anybody who participated last year can participate again, right?
I believe it's
open to all musicians. Everybody.
Yeah, yeah. All musicians. Spread the word and register yourself at hoozlesrisetomusic.com, hoozlesrisetomusic.com, and be sure to follow the Facebook page. Just type in your search bar, Hoozles Rise to Music. Shout out to Hoozles and Steph. Great work on this. Take a break. Come back and have more fun on the morning show at WFHR.